American woman.
It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. I so appreciate each and every one of you joining us today. Live with intention. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And when in the course of human events, we are in that course, you are in this course, step into this moment. We are at historic times. And what a show we have planned for you today. But thank you to each and every one of you. I so appreciate you. And thank you to producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. I'm blessed to get to work with some amazing professionals. And at the beginning of that list is producer Steve.
You put me in a pickle because I want to be a wise guy. And okay, you're being serious here, so I can't rain on that parade. Thank you.
Yes, great team. Again, that's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcast and our most recent op-eds. And today, Steve, we are going to be recording podcast. We have not been doing that just because we have been so busy with all of our other content, but the kids are getting back to school and we're going to get back to podcasts.
Not to mention your big project in your basement.
Yes. Yes. We had done our first video online meeting, and that was back in May, and we're going to get that really ramped up as well to do video podcasts as well. So a lot of content coming out of here. And speaking of that, we had gotten a bit behind on our show recaps, and a lot of you have been asking for many of them, and we are just pretty darn close to caught up. And so be sure and check that out if you're looking for a particular show. Hopefully it's there. If it's not there, would you just email me, kim@kimmunson.com, so that we are sure that we can get that link to you. I would greatly appreciate that. And all of you who support us, we are an independent voice, and we are an alternative voice to what's going on out there. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And it's never compassionate to take other people's stuff, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, government-induced inflation. And Steve, I remember, I want to say it was a study, I think it was the Truth Project, but maybe not, but something along that line. And I think it was Dell. Now I'm not getting his last name. I don't know if you remember that. But anyway, it starts with a T. And he was the teacher in this video. And he said, is it okay to steal other people's stuff? And I'm hoping most people would say, no, that's not okay. And then he said, but what if you had a really, really good reason? And that made me go to all this public policy on how we have politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties say that they want to take your money and they say, and to give it to somebody else because they have a really, really good reason. Well, that is actually theft in my book. Even if it's a good reason, it should be voluntary. It should not be because government is taking from one person to give to another.
You brought this show to KLZ back in 2018, and you've always been using this, you know, it's not right to take people's possessions and money. And at that point, you only had three things that you mentioned rattled off, and now you have six things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do we see what's happening here?
Right. And all of those things have to do with public policy.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Yes.
So take us over to inspirational wisdom. I've been waiting for this for the last two hours.
Are you excited about this? Okay. This is from Marcus Tullius Cicero. He was a Roman statesman, lawyer, scholar, philosopher, and academic skeptic who tried to, maybe that's what you and I are becoming. Are we becoming academic skeptics or just skeptics?
Curmudgeons, I don't know.
And he said, who tried to uphold optimate principles during the political crisis that led to the establishment of the Roman Empire. He was born in 106 BC. He died in 43 BC. And he says this, when a government becomes powerful, it is destructive, extravagant, and violent. It is a usurer which takes bread from innocent mouths and deprives honorable men of their substance for votes with which to perpetuate itself.
Look at those dates when this guy lived and died. 106 BC to 43 BC. If it was true then, and it was, how many governments have come and gone since then up till the present, and here we are today? It's still true.
It is still true. And that is why I encourage all of you to go back or actually do a web search of the Saline, Kansas, I think it's 1895, eighth grade exam to get out of eighth grade. And I submit to you that we have college PhDs that cannot answer those questions. And I shouldn't act too self-righteous about it because I can't answer all those questions either. But I want to, that takes me over to... This is from the Epoch Times, and it says the Oregon governor signs a bill letting students graduate without proving that they can read, write, or do math.
Okay, this is great minds think alike. Without even knowing you were going to that story, that was exactly what I was thinking when you mentioned the Kansas, you know, get out of eighth grade thing.
Yeah.
That's like, and look what's going on in Oregon today.
It is a crime in a couple of different ways. That we are letting kids, we first of all are not teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking, science, history. I wonder how proficient these kids are, though, in victimhood. They probably have been sexualized through the LGBTQ Planned Parenthood curriculum that's being taught. But if we are graduating kids that cannot read, write, and do arithmetic, they are not ready to go out and be successes in their life. They can't pursue their happiness.
And in a way, they're doomed.
Exactly. So I would say to the people of Oregon, and maybe I say to the people of Colorado, if we are not graduating our kids where they can do these things, read, write, arithmetic, critical thinking, science, history, those things, I want my money back.
I would also say to the people of Oregon, look what's going on one state to the south. What's going to be happening in September 14th to be exact.
And what is that, Producer Steve?
It's the recall of Gavin Newsom. Well, the recall election of Gavin Newsom.
Boy, that's right around the corner. And election integrity is super important. And have you been watching any of this stuff that's going on in South Dakota regarding the Mike Lindell symposium on voter integrity, or excuse me, election integrity?
Yeah, well, I wished, you know, for my own sake and my own schedule, I could tune into it and actually hear it as it's happening. What I have heard is that there's all kinds of attacks, whether, you know, just by mouth or by technical things that they're doing to try and stop it.
Yeah, they are. In fact, I was watching it on, I was watching it on Tuesday night, and the sound, it kept muting, and I thought it was just my phone, and then I realized, I think there's something going on here. So, yes, he must be getting close to the target, because he's getting certainly a lot of flack, and so we're going to have a couple of really interesting conversations later on in the show. Let's go over to another one of these headlines. And that is, again, from the Epoch Times. Why do we not ever get anything from, the Washington Post? I mean,
New York Times.
New York Times. But it says the White House calls on OPEC Plus to boost production as gasoline prices soar. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that Biden gets into office in the Harris-Biden-Obama-Rice administration. He immediately shuts down the Keystone Pipeline, not only affecting the movement of oil across the United States. Basically, I don't know how many jobs, union jobs, went away. The company actually shut down the whole project. And that would have been, let's see, January, and we're in August, so that's 7 months. And we were energy independent because of the innovation and creativity of American producers. And now he wants to go over to OPEC and shows that we are dependent now on the Middle East again. It is beyond belief to me.
I don't get the logic. I mean, all right, we've been in this country long enough, we're old enough to know that there's a slight increase in summertime driving gasoline prices, and we would have seen that. But the increase we have seen since January is well beyond that.
60 to 70%.
You know, now Uncle Joe thinks that he's concerned about the price of gasoline. And you go to OPEC and ask them to increase production. Do you think they're going to give them a bargain basement price?
Right. I don't think so. So let's mention this one other headline here that Patty's pulled. This is from the Western Journal. It says, President Joe Biden canceled the controversial Keystone XL pipeline on day one of his administration, but the move has proven to be completely political. In Minnesota, environmentalists have been protesting the construction of the Line 3 oil sands pipeline, with the efforts being led by several local indigenous tribes. As a result, over 600 people have been arrested or received citations during the protests, The Guardian reported. So why hasn't the Biden administration blocked that pipeline yet? Even though the project was approved under former President Donald Trump, the current White House has supported pipeline construction, saying the pipeline posed no notable environmental threat. But there is another underlying reason: public relations. The Line 3 pipeline has yet to become a household name like Keystone was, so it is easy for the White House to avoid scrutiny on something not gaining national attention. Biden and his appointees are likely also trying to avoid more negative media coverage following his termination of Keystone and stopping all other federal oil and gas leases.
That last part, that's it. That's the why.
Mm-hmm. And it says over 1,000 union workers were laid off instantly following the Biden decision to appease left-wing environmental interest, and an estimated 11,000 future job opportunities were nixed, even though union workers put Biden in the White House. I think that there's a bunch of buyer's remorse going on out there, Steve.
A little?
A lot. Okay. Hey, we're going to go to break here in just a minute. The girls were over last night. My gosh, we had a robust discussion. You didn't hear us last night, did you? You lived just a few blocks away.
Well, the sirens, it's not so much the sirens or the audible, it's the tear gas that gets us.
Actually, that's not funny in this day and age. But anyway, Hooters Restaurants is one of my great partners. And I ordered the barbecue shrimp last night, and it was gone before I even got to the table. And Hooters Restaurants is a sponsor of both my shows, The Kim Munson Show, as well as America's Veteran Stories. They've been longtime sponsors of the show. And again, we're an independent voice. So I so appreciate all of my sponsors. I recommend each and every one of them. And so go to my website and check out all my sponsors. Click on the Hooters tab. It'll have all of their specials. They're going to be doing some fun things as football season gets started. And I'm pretty sure they always stand for the national anthem when that's on. They're really patriots that own these restaurants. There's five locations. There's Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back with Holly Kaysen.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you for supporting us. We greatly appreciate it. On the line with me is Holly Kaysen. She is with the U.S. Election Integrity Plan. And Holly Kaysen, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you?
I am well. What is going on in your life right now?
Well, the big news is coming out of South Dakota at Mike Lindell's Cyber Symposium. There's a number of folks from USEIP here in South Dakota, and some of our group are working in the background on the data and the technicalities of the program in South Dakota, and others of us are here attending and doing press and talking to quite a few folks from around the state, from around the country.
So several things. So South Dakota, I did not get to, I tuned in a little bit yesterday. It was a super busy day, and then I had the girls over from my women's group. Tuesday, I was watching, and they said that there'd be a big bombshell. And so I was watching on Tuesday night when Sharona Bishop and Tina Peters and Colonel Sean Smith walked out on the stage, and I about fell off my chair, Holly.
they're all here. What the big news is that Secretary of State Jenna Griswold decided to, it was within her purview to go raid Tina Peters' office in, I believe they're in Mesa County.
And Tina's the clerk and recorder there in Mesa County, here in Colorado.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And Jenna Griswold decided, you know, it was within her purview to try and commandeer the Dominion voting equipment from Mesa County.
So that's what that was about, is taking the Dominion equipment?
It is. Apparently, Jenna thought that there was some malfeasance happening. I'm not exactly sure under what pretense Jenna thought that it was, you know, within her purview. But, that's what happened. And this drama has been unfolding, you know, over the past few days. And what's been happening is the data from the Dominion machines from Mesa County has been analyzed and is being analyzed live here in South Dakota with some of the top cyber experts in the world.
So I can't remember if it was Monday or Tuesday, but I saw a headline go across the wire that some passwords had been, that there was a possible security breach and some passwords had been released, I guess, from Mesa County. Can you address that, Holly?
Yes, it's interesting because apparently there were some passwords from the Dominion machines that were posted online creating this security breach. What most people don't know is that Tina Peters does not have access to those passwords. Only Jenna Griswold and her office do. So what we're not sure is, you know, how those passwords got out. You know, was it Jenna Griswold's office who took their own passwords and published them online in order to use this as a pretense to raid Tina's office? Or, and the worst part about this is that Jenna actually confirmed that the passwords were from Mesa County, so she actually created the data breach.
Aha! And the plot thickens. So now Jenna Griswold has Mesa County's Dominion machines. Is that correct? Am I hearing that correctly?
As far as I know, I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know if the machines were taken or not.
Okay. So, and I think I actually saw something come across the headlines last night that Tina Peters has a backup plan. Did I see that correctly?
You did see that correctly. There was data. Tina had apparently, I don't know if Tina did or where this came from. I have no idea what happened. But what I do know is that there was a backup made of the Dominion data prior to Griswold sending a member from her office and also from Dominion to Mesa County to quote-unquote update the machines. It's called the Trusted Build, I believe. And basically what they do is go in and update the software and firmware. And I don't know what they do. That's kind of the problem. The public doesn't know. The county clerks don't know. Only, I don't even know if Jenna knows exactly, but definitely Dominion knows what they're doing with these machines. And so there was a backup made of the data prior to the update and then after the update. And so that's part of the data that's being analyzed here in South Dakota. Now, I don't know if Tina did this. I have no idea what the backstory is there, but I do know that that is the data that's being analyzed publicly here in South Dakota.
Okay. And I was at a meeting on Monday night with, and one of the presenters there was a clerk and recorder from a different county. And she mentioned this Trusted Build and that it was in preparation for the 2021 election, which in a way makes sense. You want to make sure the machines are all up, you know, ready to go. But it also, my understanding is that the data should be preserved, I think, for 22 months. So you could probably do both. You could do a Trusted Build and get machines ready for the 2021 without possibly overriding what data might be there. And of course, I'm just a novice on this, but that seems like that should be very possible. I mean, we put men on the moon. We should be able to figure out how to do that. So you're today is the last day of the symposium that Mike Lindell has put on. And they'd indicated that this evening that there may be another bombshell. What are you hearing? And how can people see what's going on today?
Right. The symposium is being live streamed on, I believe,
frankspeech.com, I think.
Yeah, there's quite a few places that you can listen to it. I have no idea what the information is going to be today. I'm guessing that we are going to be finding some more information. Yesterday, the bombshell wasn't just about Tina Peters or, you know, the day before. What was exposed is that the election records from the Dominion machines were supposed to be preserved according to Colorado and federal law for 22 months, and there were massive deletions of records. So there's some real, you know, just objective, irrefutable evidence coming from these machines that something happened. And, you know, some of it's pretty technical, some of it's not. But Griswold is going to have to answer for this because those records should have been preserved according to the law. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation about what the punishment looks like and what Griswold may be facing herself. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but there's no question records were deleted.
Okay. And that is one of the things, Holly, that we continue to hear is, well, show me the proof regarding the potential election integrity challenges. And it's taken some time, but it looks to me like there's proof that's coming out.
That's it. Now, the one thing that I would say about the symposium, you know, is Mike Lindell got out and said, hey, you know, we've got all this proof that China hacked our elections and changed the votes and all this stuff. Now, that has not proven out. I can tell you for a fact, you know, we have not seen the data to show, you know, to support that claim. But what we are seeing is that there's definitely been interference with the Dominion machines in Colorado. And what happened yesterday is to show other technical experts how to look at their machines and what's gone on in their own counties. So I don't know what's happening today, but it could be big. I don't know.
Okay, one other thing that I was very interesting to me, and that was on Tuesday night, where Sharona actually connected a dot, and that was between Matt Crane, who had been the Arapahoe County Clerk and Recorder, and was defeated by an Emerge candidate, and Emerge is the women that have been trained really. It's a Democrat training program for Democrat women candidates. And they've had great success. But unfortunately, the principles that they're pushing forward are antithetical to the American idea. They're over on this far left stuff that's going on. So Matt was defeated. He now has a job. He is the head of the county, the Colorado County Clerks Association. And my understanding is that his wife worked worked for Dominion for many, many years. I think that's an important connection. I don't know for sure if there was anything going on, but it's an interesting dot to connect, Holly.
Yes, it is. You know, Matt Crane, I don't think has much, ideologically much different than these Emerge candidates. In fact, you know, Matt Crane has shown that he is on the side of Jenna Griswold and the leftists. And in technology in our voting systems, you know, he's a part of several organizations that are working toward mobile voting, which is an absolutely terrible
idea.
It's terrible. I mean, even mainstream magazines are, you know, just deride the whole idea of mobile voting, you know, and he's a board member of Text to Vote, which is a mobile voting organization, he is not proving to be the Republican or standing up for conservative values and being on the right side of election integrity. It's fairly easy to find online, where he's surfacing in some of these more nefarious organizations and on the wrong side of election integrity.
Well, and we must have, we had an Abraham Lincoln quote, I think earlier this week, where Lincoln said, "The ballot is stronger than the bullet." And that is so important that we have free, fair, honest elections that we can trust. And so that's really important. What you're doing with the U.S. Election Integrity Plan is fantastic. And how can people get more information about that, Holly?
Yeah, you can go to useip.org. It's just the initials of U.S. Election Integrity Plan. And now we're on a campaign to, call out AG Wiser and the Office of Legislative Services in hopes of them coming to their senses, doing their job, and supporting the Constitution and the law when it comes to Griswold's emergency election rules changes, which are completely unfounded. There's no emergency in the state, and she's trying to say, hey, there's no place for third-party audits, and in fact, they're illegal to happen in Colorado. And so essentially what she's saying is, hey, only the state can audit the state. And anybody in business knows, businesses can't audit themselves, and there's a whole bunch of laws around that in the United States, and so I don't know why elections are any different. And there's also some permanent election rules changes that really strip power from the citizens, any citizen. This is not a partisan issue. This is definitely a bipartisan concern with, there's a summary of these rules, and we're trying to say, hey, for the citizens of Colorado, this is not okay for Griswold to make this tyrannical power grab.
Well, Holly Kaysen, thank you so much for what you're doing, and thank you for giving us this very important update. And we'll be excited to see what happens today.
Great, Kim. I hope everybody tunes in to the symposium and watches live.
Okay. Thanks so much. And Karen Levine, you know her. She is one of my sponsors of both this show and America's Veterans Story Show, which that show airs on Sunday afternoon at 3 and then in the evening at 10 on Sundays. And she's an award-winning realtor. It is a crazy, crazy market out there. Karen Levine, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
Karen, a couple of houses have sold in my neighborhood, and we've been excited to have home ownership, to have families be moving in. And we actually have some neighbors that are renting, and they're very nice neighbors. We don't know what our new neighbors are going to be like. But I've been a little disappointed that it's been in big investment companies that have come in and outbid families from home ownership. I've been a little frustrated about that. Karen, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I understand your frustration, Kim, and yet we are proponents of capitalism, and it's what's hard about that is that we have these corporations coming in and buying homes, which then doesn't allow neighbors to buy those homes. And we're seeing that across the nation. I think we had a conversation about that with my friend Lee Brown back in May. And I'm not seeing it on my properties that I have listed. I know it's occurring. I don't know if, you know, I've been protected from that. I am seeing small investors who want to get into the investment market fighting tooth and nail to try to get in. And it's funny that all the players know each other, because on a recent listing, they're asking me, you know, have you seen an offer from so-and-so and from so-and-so?
And you're like, well, maybe I'll call them, huh?
I know. I better check in on them. But I had a property that was ideal for a fix up and a flip, as we terminate, as we use that terminology. It's a really great bones house, but had not been updated in over 50 years and fairly abused. But we got multiple offers on that, and it was not ideal for a homeowner because of the monies needed to make it really more comfortable and more livable. So we knew that was going to go to an investor. But it's sort of sad. I think what it says, and maybe this is the rhetoric too, is that, as you have mentioned, the World Economic Forum, who claims that their desires for us is not to own anything. Is it part of the play that these corporations come in and buy houses so that there aren't houses for middle America?
Boy, I've been wondering that as well. So, but I know that people out there that want to buy a home, interest rates are still low, as when we talked to Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group. And I think you and Lauren are going to be in studio next week.
We are. We haven't been together in, what, 6 months or so? So it'll be exciting to get, you know, both our perspectives.
On that, for sure. Well, we're coming in the end of the summer, and I am seeing some signs in some of the yards. If people want to buy or sell their home, they really need a professional. Even though there are multiple offers, if you're selling a home, it's good to have a professional on your side representing you, because there's, I don't know, you said there's like how many data points that occurs in the selling of a home or buying a home?
Well, I think our understanding is it's all about price. Well, it's not all about price, because with high prices sometimes comes high risk. So what I walk through are all the contingencies in the contract, and what's the exposure to the seller, and what's that risk, and what's their risk tolerance, so that they make sure that there's a balance between the price they're receiving and the risk they're taking on. And those are the type of things that, on the surface, I think the average consumer doesn't understand. And so that's where a professional like myself can step in and give them good counsel.
And how can people reach you?
They can reach me at 303-877-7516.
That's 303-877-7516. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Douglas Grotheis. And we're going to be talking about a very important piece that he did on America, critical theory, and social crisis. You will not want to miss it.
ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice as we search for truth and clarity by looking at issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. I am thrilled to have our next guest join us. Dr. Douglas Groteis is professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary, where he directs the Apologetics and Ethics Master's degree. He is the author or editor of 15 books, and he's written a very important piece, America, Critical Theory, and Social Crisis. Dr. Groteis, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
You had written this particular piece in September of 2020, and I'm not really sure that everyday parents, families, grandparents knew that there was this critical race theory that was being taught in our schools, but you were on this much earlier, so tell us about this.
Yes, let me talk about terminology, and also let me say that my views are my own and not necessarily those of Denver Seminary. Controversial issue here.
Okay.
I use the term critical theory, and we often hear critical race theory, but the short story is that critical race theory has a parentage that goes back to something called critical theory. Back in the 30s in Germany, a group of philosophers, really led in many ways by a guy named Herbert Marcuse. And then there was another development called critical legal theory that was led by Derrick Bell. And through all that has developed what's called critical race theory. And the roots of this are really in Marxism, but the difference is that instead of really emphasizing economics, that is the owners versus the workers, the emphasis is to pit the dominant group, which would be considered white males, against people of color. So the idea is that if you find discrepancies in social achievement between, let's say, whites and blacks or whites and Latinos, Latinas, that's because of racism. You know, it's a very simple, simplistic analysis. So white people, particularly white males, need to confess their privilege, their white privilege, and they are part of a white supremacy situation. So the way this plays out, and this is not to deny the fact that some people are racist, that society's not always fair, but it's an overly simplistic view, and it's rooted in an essentially false worldview, which is that of Marxism. So this plays out, and you can read this in a write-up by a guy named Christopher Rufo, R-U-F-O. He's done some good work on this. This plays out even in elementary schools, where some teachers will have students divide into the whites and the people of color, and the white students have to figure out how they're oppressing the people of color. And this has even affected the military, governmental institutions. President Biden is behind it 100%. Kamala Harris is behind it 100%. The whole Democratic Party is pretty much behind it, I'm afraid to say. And it's a very warped view of what the United States is and what our situation is and how to really move forward wisely in terms of our racial struggles. And one of the basic points of my article is that we have a very workable, a very valuable American system. And the critical race theory people really want to tear it down. They say it's been corrupt in the beginning. It's based on slavery. It's based on when slaves first came here in 1619 and something like the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. Those things are just ways of propping up white privilege. So this is a very revolutionary, very radical, very wrong approach to racial issues.
Dr. Grotius, before the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus reaction disruption, a lot of parents didn't know what was being taught in school. I know that I was taking for granted. I have a great public liberal education, and that means the word liberal, a liberal education was learned history and reading and writing and arithmetic and all those things, critical thinking. And it was a really great public education. And I really had thought that that was what was occurring with my kids. But I was starting to see a movement away from that. And we get now to today, 2020, 2021, and parents are looking at what their kids are being taught. And they're saying, wait a minute. And people, parents and grandparents, they're showing up at school board meetings saying, this is not okay.
Well, exactly. I think the lockdowns may have made parents aware more of what's going on. And I've followed trends in public education for, gosh, now 40 years. And sadly, a lot of public education is indoctrination into leftism. Not all of it, and charter schools can transcend that quite often, and that's one reason why people on the far left don't like charter schools, because they have a certain amount of autonomy and parent involvement that other schools don't have. But what's going on is that it's not just the teaching of basic skills, as you've said, or basic history. There's a definite ideological approach to it. This has been going on for a very, very long time. But it's coming to a head, I think, because of the riots of last summer. And I think in many cases, or in some cases, parents seeing what their children are taught when they're being taught on Zoom. And people are saying, wait a minute, this is not the America that I know. This is not how I want my children to think about race. But the old idea of a colorblind society is completely rejected by critical race theory. They say that people of color have been oppressed so terribly, so horribly, that they need to be favored and that the oppressors need to be punished and need to pay reparations. And in fact, there's one writer named Abraham Kendi, very influential, who says that if there has been discrimination in the past, there needs to be discrimination now to make up for it. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not making that up. You can look that up. Abraham X. Kendi, he wrote a book called How to Be an Anti-Racist. And you think, well, of course I want to be an anti-racist. But then when you see what he means by it, he means we have to have a socialist country where the state controls all the outcomes so we have what is now called equity. And equity is not the idea of equal opportunity. It's the idea of state-enforced equal outcomes. So if people of color make up a certain percentage of the population and they don't have that percentage in law or medicine or on a school board or on a board of a corporation, then they have to, period. And if they don't have that proper representation, then it shows that there is racism. And you read somebody like Thomas Sowell or Walter Williams, so many others, the situation is much more complex than that. And my concern as an advocate of the free market is, and as a Christian, I want people to be treated because they're made in the image and likeness of God. Mm-hmm. That's the first and most important thing about a human being. Now, obviously, if you're a person of color, you have a different kind of history than I do as a white male. And I want to take that seriously. But I am no way going to jump on the critical race theory bandwagon because it is in the pit.
Well, and Dr. Grotius, when they're talking about equity, you have to bring everybody down to the lowest common denominator. So people become equal in their misery. And then you have the elites that are making the decisions on all this. A friend of mine said, yes, we'll all have a saltine cracker. And that just really, really stuck with me on that. We're going to go to break. Fascinating conversation. I am so excited to be talking with Dr. Doug Grotius, and fascinating, 15 books, and this is so important to have this discussion. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great sponsor of the show. Family-owned business, Hal and Linnea Van Herke have this great business in Sedalia, Colorado, and they have an amazing collection. In fact, I went out and had one of my knives sharpened at their event last week and was looking at this beautiful personal collection of Hal's that he has there. So great little business. Recommend if you might take a road trip this weekend and go down to Sedalia, Colorado, but also their website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Dr. Douglas Grotius.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Dr. Douglas Grotius, I am reading a book right now, Live Not by Lies. I think it's by Ron Dreyer. And in it, I found this very interesting. He said that, and it's not just in America right now, but I can't remember, but I want to say back in Germany as well, that students would come home from school and parents have been afraid to challenge the ideas that the students are espousing, to try to keep peace in the home or whatever. And that is a very dangerous place to be. You work with college students all the time. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, a lot of students are not trained properly in the Christian worldview and American history and the principles of American civil government. They go off to school, and the research indicates that overwhelmingly the professors at secular schools are left-wing, extremely left-wing. I mean, even self-identifying in some cases as Marxists, and maybe very small percentage, maybe 10% or less, would consider themselves even mildly conservative. So if they don't have the right education before they go to a secular university, and they've already gotten a lot of this in high schools, they could be won over, even to Marxism. I mean, I remember long ago when I went to college, 1975, my mother was a wonderful mother, and she raised me really well. But when I went to school, I heard about Karl Marx, and I read the Communist Manifesto, and heard about atheism, and I thought this was just fantastic. How did I miss this, you know? Now, thank God I became a Christian a year later, and then became more conservative in my views by reading and interaction. But parents need to be really involved at every stage of their children's lives in teaching that Christianity is true and rational and compelling and relevant to life, and also fundamental American principles of civil government, which a lot of people don't know. They don't know the Declaration of Independence. They don't know about the First Amendment, the Constitution, the way our civil government works, why we have an electoral system, and all the rest of it. So when a student goes to college, especially, let's say, he or she leaves home, goes to another place, you have a new set of friends overall, you have these strange creatures called professors, and they seem to know everything, and they control your grades, and they're saying things that seem right. But there is certainly another side to it. there is a tremendous amount of good literature, anti-communist literature, pro-American literature. And I don't mean a stupid nationalism where you just say, my country's always right, other countries are always wrong, but a deep awareness of the brilliance of the American system, and also a realization that America's flawed. Every nation is flawed. We've got to wait for the new heavens and the new earth to not have a flawed situation we're living in. But one of the great things about the American system is that it's self-reforming. This is why we have things like amendments to the Constitution. I mean, think of Amendments 13, 14, and 15, which are the anti-slavery amendments. And you have various legal reforms, like the Civil Rights Act and so on, that help give African Americans and other minorities opportunities. Now, the situation's not perfect. There's lots of room for improvement, but I don't see the critical race theory perspective as a way to improve anything. I see that's a way to increase animosity, increase suspicion, increase the idea that you have passive victims and active oppressors. It tends to generate resentment. You know, I have an article in front of me. I heard about this last year, but I decided to go back and read it. It was an interview with an author who wrote a book called In Defense of Looting. And this interview was on National Public Radio. And the author says that looting is fine because the whole system of the United States is based on racism and based on property. And of course, that's a Marxist idea. Property is intrinsically wrong. And so it's fine to loot because it helps equalize the situation.
Unbelievable.
And this was, you know, this was not on, you know, anarchist public radio in Boulder, Colorado. This was on National Public Radio. Looting is fine, in defense of looting. And this was at the height of the riots. So people hold this on a spectrum. It's not that every critical race theory advocate believes in looting. I'm not saying that. But if you would interview a lot of the rioters last summer, a lot of them coming out of groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter would say the system's inherently corrupt. It's an oppressive, repressive system, and it requires a radical overthrow. Now, that radical overthrow can be in the streets, looting, destroying, or it can be a little more subtle in the classroom. Both need to be addressed.
Well, and I think the veil is off. It's been a long time in coming. You mentioned you went to school in 1975. And I think the veil, the mask is off now. And we're at a very, a critical time, I would say, in the history of the United States of America. But I'm very encouraged because I see a lot of people not becoming woke, but waking up and showing up. And so I'm encouraged. How about you, Dr. Grotius?
Well, I think we're in a very critical situation, and I wrote a piece that's online at the stream called about critical thinking, and I did use some examples from critical race theory. So everybody should be a critical thinker and not just ideologically choose one side or the other, but say, what are the facts on the ground, what's the history, and what's the logical way of approaching this? And gosh, in the last 6 or 9 months, it seems like every time you look at a medium, there's some pro or con response to critical race theory. And some folks say, well, it's just another moral panic on the right. Believe me, I'm an old philosopher. I'm 64 years old. And I've studied Marxism and social movements and political philosophy for a long time. And this thing did not come out of nowhere. It's real. It's, and I don't use this term lightly, it's anti-American. And it's really not good for the country. And some people set up what's called a false dichotomy. This is a fallacy in logic. You say, well, you either embrace critical race theory or you don't address the sins of America's past. We need to teach America's history, and there's been racism. Our students need to know it. Hold on. Of course we need to teach American history. We need to explain why there was a civil war, what the civil rights movement was about, contemporary struggles. But there's no need to adopt and embrace a neo-Marxist, profoundly false and unhelpful worldview to do that. There are lots better ways of doing that.
Wow. So, Dr. Grotius, we have just about a minute left. What is the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I think we need to get educated and not just react, but do a little research on what critical race theory is, where it came from, what its essential assumptions are. And I've got an article online called Critical Theory, what is it called, America, Critical Theory and Social Crisis, I wrote about a year ago. I think that can be helpful. And then let's remember what America is, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But the essential system of America being a constitutional representative republic is ingenious. And the founders said this is a new order of the ages. Nothing quite like this has ever been attempted. Now, slavery is what Robert Woodson calls the birth defect of America. But it's not something we can't address. We have addressed it. We can continue to address it. But the best way to address it is according to the founding ideals, the founding principles of the United States. And a lot of people simply don't know what these are. So, you know, stop playing video games. Stop being on Facebook for a while. Go back and read the Declaration of Independence and read the Constitution. Read the Bill of Rights. Do a little research. Go to Hillsdale College and figure out what America is supposed to be. And then let's engage our social problems on those terms. And if you are a person of Christian faith, pray, act, ask the Lord to give you wisdom to speak the truth in love in our very contentious and difficult situation.
Dr. Douglas Grotius, thank you so much. This has been an absolute joy for this interview. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, you're welcome, and thank you so much.
And our quote for today is from Cicero. He said, "We are obliged to respect, defend, and maintain the common bonds of union and fellowship that exist among all members of the human race." So, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry.